Take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 18. And we'll kind of where we'll kick off here. Revelation 18. And we are doing kind of a study on the hidden power of the soul, which we don't give a lot of thought to a lot of times, I don't think. And last week we were talking about a lot of different things, but look at Revelation 18, and let me get there. And read verse 11. We'll start at verse 11, and it says, "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore." Now, that the context of chapter 18, of course, is when the great whore Rome is at the about the middle of the tribulation, is the Antichrist has destroyed her. Okay, and everything that she holds, all of her holdings and everything, she's destroyed, and this is who it's talking about. And in verse 12, the merchandise of gold, and this is, men can't buy this from her anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and the souls of men." Remember that that's what the Antichrist will be dealing with in at that time, and he'll be treating these the as merchandise, the souls of men. And it's not talking about their bodies, because that covers in slaves and but souls, it's and we went back last week and kind of opened this up. Now go, just let that go, and now go back to Genesis chapter 2, and just kind of touching on things that we covered last week. In Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, why was each one of these three entities, the body, the soul, and the spirit, created? Now, we talked about this last week, this is one of the writings from one of the men, just to so you'll understand the difference in the three entities. All I got to do is find it here someplace. And this is written by Andrew Murray, and all these men were written back before the 1800s, because when we think about, as we talked about last week, we don't realize what was lost. And we understand that we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. God always classifies it spirit, soul, and body. But what's the function of them, and why were they created? And we talked about last week that how mighty and this is what happens. It says in chapter 2 that God breathed into the nostrils of man, into a body, and he became a living soul. What he writes about it. "In the history of man's creation, we read, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Thus was his body made, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of spirit of life. Thus his spirit came from God, and man became a living soul. The spirit quickening the body made man a living soul." So it's through that creation, when he, again, the spirit quickening the body made man a living soul, a living person with the consciousness of himself. Okay? Because he didn't, and this is why an animal doesn't have a soul. Or they do have, they are only conscious of themselves. Now, with a spirit and a body, that man was not conscious of himself. The soul was the meeting place, the point of union between body and spirit. Through the body, man, the living soul, stood related to the external world of senses, could influence it or be influenced by it. Through the spirit, he stood related to the spiritual world and the Spirit of God, whence he had his origin, could be recipient and the minister of its life and power. Standing thus midway between two worlds, talking about the soul, belonging to both, what? The soul, had the power of determining itself, of choosing or refusing the objects by which it was surrounded and to which it stood related. In the constitution of these three parts of man's nature, the spirit, as linking him with the divine, was the highest. The body, connecting him with the sensible and animal. The lowest, which is the lowest, intermediate stood the soul, partaker of the nature of the others. It had part of the spirit, part of the body. That's the same way yours does. The bond of the others, the bond that united them and through which they could act on each other, that is your soul. Its work as the central power was to maintain them in their due relation, to keep the body as the lowest in subjection to the spirit, itself to receive through the spirit as the higher from the divine spirit, from what it was waiting is for its perfection, and so to pass down even to the body that by which it might be partakers of the spirit's perfection and become a spiritual body. See, your Adam was through his spirit, his body was going to be as in as much a perfect character with God as his spirit was. And the soul is a connection of them two. And so that was the intent of God creating man. But we know that he fell. Adam is a soul. His spirit and body are joined in his soul. Same way with you. That astonishing power, which we talked about last week, is present in Adam's soul, not in his spirit, not in his body. In other words, the living soul, which is the result of the coming together of the spirit and the body, possesses unthinkable supernatural power. At the fall, though the power which distinguished Adam from us today, yet this, it doesn't mean that this power doesn't no longer exist. It only means that through this ability it is still in man. It is nonetheless, it's frozen or immobilized in us. Now think about this. Look at Genesis chapter now, before the fall, go to Genesis chapter 6. Man was a living soul. Isn't that what it said? That God, and when God breathed into man, he became a living soul. So that connection, when God breathed in with the body, a soul was created. Today, when a child is conceived through the blood, a spirit, a body is formed, and a soul is makes that connection. But I want you to notice something here. Before the fall, God called him a soul. Now look at Genesis chapter 6. Now this is, I never realized this before, but look at verse 1. Now if you know what's going on here in Genesis chapter 6, it's after the fall. Look at verse 1. And it came, I'll tell you what, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's just break here a little bit. Father, again, we do thank you for your goodness, your mercy and grace toward us. Lord, help us today understand these things of how you created, why we were created. And Lord, unless we really understand why and everything about each entity of our of what makes us us, we're not going to understand how Satan attacks and how you work in us. And these things we need to know. And so, Lord, help us. We can't get these by ourselves. Man does not teach this. Only you do. So, Lord, help us. Be amongst us today. Open our minds and our heart to you, to allow you to show us and teach us things that we know not. And we'll thank you for it. In that name we pray. Amen. So in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they had chosen." Now we understand that these sons of God, these are not men, these are angelic beings. Now look at verse 3. "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is" what? He doesn't call him a soul anymore. He's flesh. And you know, that's the problem. The flesh. "And yet his days shall be 120 years." So he is flesh. Before the fall, his soul has been meant to submit to the spirit's control. His body was to submit to the spirit's control. The soul was to submit to the control, to where that God could form Adam, his soul and body, like his spirit was, in the perfect image of God. But he fell. And so before the fall, the soul had been meant to submit to the spirit's control. Now it's subject to the dominion of the flesh. And this is now was the way that God had looked at man. See, your soul now is because that fall, it's subject to the dominion of the flesh. Our flesh overrides our soul, and our soul is where, as we've said before, where all of our character. The soul is us. Our body controls it. And you know that to be. And that's why we wasn't created that way. The Bible says look at verse 12 there in chapter 6. "And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all souls," did it say that? No, flesh, "had corrupted his way upon the earth." Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now, why would we want to spend so much time on this? You remember that in Revelation 18, Satan and the Antichrist will use the human souls as an instrument for their activities at the end of this age and during the tribulation. When Adam fell, we saw that his power was that great power that he had mentally, physically, emotionally, everything about him at his fall, it was immobilized. It was kind of just immobilized in him, or buried with him. He now had become flesh. And now his flesh, now enclosed tightly, are bonded around this marvelous power that he had. Again, it is not lost to man. It is simply bound up by the flesh. God looked at man until he saved. He's flesh. Until that a man now becomes born again and quickened by the Spirit, that's all he is flesh, wicked flesh. And that's why the Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. So you see what we gain through being born again. Now, this power is bound up in the flesh. And I know a lot of people say, well, that's ridiculous. No, it isn't. If you left the Bible alone and took what the world does about this, you would understand that there is an amazing supernatural power in every human being, saved or lost. Today, each one of every person who lives on the earth lies in this Adamic power, though it's confined in them and it's not able to freely express itself in there. What happens? Satan, however, attempts to break open this shell to reach this inner power that we, this fleshly power that we have, and to release that power that's dormant in every man, saved or lost, in order to gain control over man. And the problem is, we as Christians, we call this hocus pocus, or Baptists are good, oh, we don't want to go there. You better go there. You better understand what's going on. Because Satan has deceived people. Oh, don't go there. That's getting wild. Well, being deceived, and here's the problem with this deception of what's going on in Christianity today. Their Christians are being deceived by thinking it's God, and it's not. This does not happen again in Christians alone. The Babylonians, if you study anything about history, the Arabians, the Buddhists, the Orientals, the Taos, the Hindus, every cult, Oriental from every nation in the world, they all have one thing in common. And if you go to the occult, They all have one thing in common, and Christianity, of trying to reach this supernatural power that's in us. The simple fact of it is, and Christians just think this is right to do. No, our power is from Him. We are not to try to open that thing up, because it's sealed, it's Adamic, it's demonic, and it's fleshly. But every one of them, and we talked about this before, in every one of the religions, is this common principle behind all, is to overcome the outward flesh so as to deliver the soul power from all kinds of bondage for free expression of itself. It's done through meditation. What do you think meditation is? It's trying to get out of yourself. It's trying to open up and to release a power. What does one group call it? What would they call this power? Karma? The chi? There's probably 20 different names for it that they're all trying to reach. They've been doing this since time. How in the world did you ever wonder why some people, you look back through history, that done such great things and they weren't saved? What happened? Satan, working through them, allowed them to tap into the power that was in them. And what they accomplished, for good or for bad, it still came out of that soul. It was a self-life. Look at Hitler. Do you ever wonder why Well, he was just charismatic. No, he wasn't. How did he come up with the mesmerizing power to affect a whole nation? Satan allowed him to tap into that power that he had in him. You've got to wonder, why were people so stupid or so dumb? Do you ever know where today's, and we'll get into this in a minute, but psychology come from? It came from one man back in around 17, I got the number somewhere, 1700 something. His name was Mesmerns. And he started dealing with the psychic and found out that they could be what we called mesmerized. Did you ever hear that word before? You know where that come from? Him. Because he found out by dealing with people's souls, tapping in that power from him, he could mesmerize people. He could hypnotize. Psychology. What is psychology? The word itself is the combination of two Greek words, psych, which means soul, and logi, which means discourse. Hence, psychology is the science of the soul. Now think about that. I've never been to one, but let's say you've seen them on TV. They lay down, and what are they trying to get to? They keep going back and say, no, no, no. What is deeper than that? What they're trying to get to the psychic in their soul. That's all psychology is. A science of probing into the soul. Why? Because they know there's a power there that can change their life. We don't get it. So today's psychology is nothing more than some man or woman probing into your soul. This is done today all over the world. It's done by hypnosis, meditation. Now here's something that seems so. How about breathing control? Controlling your breathing. Do you understand that you can just about totally stop breathing? They can work in your... Some of these Buddhists and stuff, they just about quit eating. They control their heart and everything so much that they breathe about a fourth of what normal people do. Why? Because this thing opens when they start this meditation, and through this it cuts away. Satan uses this thing to cut away to get to that soul power. We think it's a hocus pocus. I read articles upon articles that with all proven that men and women are literally able to tell the future. They can project their minds into the future to see what's happened. This is all documented. How do they do that? They're tapping into that soul self power that's in every one of us. We see things done today in great things. Now let me say it. Anything, and I'm going to keep saying this, because now you remember our soul is the intermediate between both. And at the beginning, the spirit, which was God's, to connection with God, was to bring the soul and the body into compliance with God. That way, Adam would have been like God. He wouldn't have been God, but he would have been like God. Okay? But he fell. So the power's still there. And so, but here's the thing. And so there's something you want to remember, that what the soul can do everything that the spirit can do. Now think about this. Right now, in human beings and Christianity, we'll talk about Christians, in most cases, what is controlling our soul, our flesh, our body? What our body wants, it gets, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. That wasn't the way it was designed. But the soul can do everything that the spirit can do, except one thing. Now, before I tell you what that is, think about that. How much, let's talk about Christianity. How much do you see in Christianity today that looks like it's of God? But there always seems to be something lacking. It's something that when you leave these meetings, or you go out and you feel, after about an hour, you feel as empty as you did before. You see great and mighty work being built, and people coming by numbers and multitude, and there's a lot of emotion, a lot of commotion, but you start finding out people are not getting helped. They're being entertained, they're being twinkle dusted. They're being made believe that what they're doing is spiritual. But all it really is coming from the flesh, the soul, the self. I want, and so let me tell you what, again, the soul can imitate everything that the spirit does. Now, you ought to think about that. I mentioned a while ago that what is the Antichrist going to do in Revelation 18 in the tribulation? And the Antichrist is what? He is imitating Christ, right? Antichrist, he's imitating Christ. And his imitation is so good that it says even the elect will be confused. That's a picture of our soul. He can do everything, the Antichrist can do everything that Christ can do, just like your soul can do everything that your spirit from God can do, except give life. Doesn't matter how much he tries. He can make you feel good, but he can't give you life. Christ said, I came to give life, and life more abundantly. Your soul can imitate everything that your spirit does, except give life and heal. That's the difference. This book gives life. It heals. Everything that comes from your soul, your self-life, in Christian work or anything else, we'll get on later into this, it doesn't matter how much. Do you ever wonder why, and I'm just using this as generic, when we want to help people, but sometimes when we go helping them, we end up making them mad and hurt them? Do you ever wonder why? It's because it's coming out of your self life instead of your spirit life from Christ. We can't help people because we're so used to this. And remember, he can do that. So it can do so many good things, but it can't really give life or helping life. It's phony. And we go back grieved because I really wanted to help them. They need help. Well, the problem is we're trying to do it instead of letting the Lord Jesus Christ, His Spirit, work through our spirit. It's coming out of our flesh. It's coming out of our self-life. It's coming out of our soul. And the Bible says that you cannot please God in the flesh. I don't care how good we think it is, whether it's preaching, holding a church service, I don't care what it is. God looks at it as the soul is doing bad. Well, how can he bless that? Well, it's done by the flesh, the self-life. He can't bless that. But when we as Christians try to turn around and do God's work out of this same self-life, it comes from the same place. And you cannot please God in the flesh. So I want you to understand a lot of stuff that's going on in Christianity today. And praise God, people are getting saved. And God blesses in spite of us. But God looks at it as sinful. Now that's hard for us to understand. You say, how could somebody, because whatsoever in the flesh cannot please God. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It doesn't matter how good it looks like. So think about that. Now, I know a lot of us ain't going to like this, because we like to think of ourselves as doing good. And I think most Christians like to do good. They like to help people. But when we're doing it through the self life and still the spirit life, it's sin to God. How do we know? The Bible says it is. So in our Christian movements today, in our churches, we need to really start looking as how much of this stuff is soulish as it can be. This hidden power had fallen with man, so that according to God it should not be used any farther. Christians have no business. When you meditate, it's up on your heavenly Father. You don't open your mind to nothing except to the heavenly Father. And this is, you remember the apostles asked the Lord how we're to pray, and he said, Our Father in heaven. You want to make sure where your prayer is going to. It's going to your heavenly Father in heaven. And when you pray in Jesus Christ's name. Why? Because you don't know where your prayer is going. You ever watch somebody running around and thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Do you know how many Jesus there is out there? Satan picks up on that every time, and it's praise to him. Now, I'm not saying in every case, because I don't know, but I'm saying we need to be careful. But it is Satan's desire to develop this hidden power so that man feels like he is rich as God in accordance with what Satan had promised Eve. Satan promised Eve, you'll be as gods. God already promised them to be like him, not God. God promised Adam that you will be created, and if he hadn't have failed, he would have been just like God, body, soul, and spirit. But he fell. How'd he fall? Satan offered him a fake trip. Well, you'll be like gods. You'll be as gods. And what did Satan say that made him fall? I will be like the Most High. And that trick still works on us. So man will worship himself. How? Through this self-life. Our mind, our intellect, our ability to preach, to teach, to do whatever. And indirectly, you're worshiping Satan. You ever wonder why over there Paul told them in Corinthians, you cannot, what did he say? You cannot worship God and Satan at once. You cannot have communion with Satan and the Lord at the same time. Because we think we're doing it. And you can't. You're either worshiping one or the other. And that's where it has been so camouflaged that we think that all this ability and training and coercing our ability to generate a organization is spiritual. And it's 100% out of the soul. It's self-life. And people today think that it's spiritual. They walk out, they feeling good until something happens. Boom, they have nothing to hold on to. Now, let's look at some scriptures here real quick. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians. Oh, I want you to go to 11. I am not attacking any ministry. No particular. I am not. Because they're going to have to answer to God what they do. But I'm just saying, Christians are getting hoodwinked all over the world. By something that looks good, feels good, sounds good, and even doing good. But who's producing it? It's coming out of the flesh, the soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now look at verse 1. Paul's talking, he says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. And I'll ask that. I know to some of us it sounds like this stuff is just folly. Well, how's that life working out for you now the way you want to live it? You got everything under control? Yeah, right. Okay. All right. Good. Amen. He says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you unto one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, he tricked her. Through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Let me tell you what. There is nothing difficult about serving Christ. It's only when we let Satan tap into our inner power and this self-life comes out, makes it difficult. There was nothing hard about Adam, don't eat of that tree. What was difficult about that? But you know what Satan did? He come in and he started dealing with reaching in and touching Eve's soul, that power. Well, I want to become, isn't that a marvelous thing to become like God? I mean, isn't that wonderful? Oh my goodness, to be like God, that's what we want. So he beguiled her from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preached another Jesus, there's that. See, there's Jesus out there. Well, which Jesus are you preaching? Whom we have not preached, or if you received another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, you see the context of this. Now, jump down to verse 11. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasions from the which desire occasion. So there was people trying to trick them, that wherein they glory, that may be they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, he can even transform himself into an angel of life. But Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, who? Satan's. And they don't even know it. Minister also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to the work. Now, look at Galatians. Right after 2 Corinthians, book of Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 3. This is why Paul prayed. And this is what I try to pray for our church every day. That God may grant unto us, according to his riches in glory, that we be strengthened with might in the inner man by the Spirit of Christ. That's what we need to be, that the inner man be strengthened. The inner man that's being controlled by the Spirit of God, let him be strengthened. You know why? Because if he is not strengthened, and in most of us today, we know that we are controlled by our flesh. Come on, what the flesh wants, it gets. That means your soul is being controlled by your flesh. And it cannot please God. I don't care what you're doing. How good you can sing, how good you can play an instrument, how good you can preach, it's not about you, it's him doing it through you. And we have this, and I'm not saying all Christianity, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we see so much of it. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Paul was dealing with a whole church here. He says in verse 1, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" There it is again. Somebody has tricked you, bewitched you. They've used divinations on you. On what? Your soul. "That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" Are you so foolish? Paul was asking this church here. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? And we Christians, we ought to be asking ourselves that. Are we allowing ourselves to be tricked day in and day out? Because we think we're in the Spirit, but there's no help coming, there's no comfort, there's no joy, there's no peace, which comes down from heaven. Are we so foolish to think that we've been bewitched? We've been tricked. We need to constantly, "Lord, strengthen this inner man. I yield myself to you, to your Spirit, not to the flesh." Why? We're just running around being bewitched all the time. Matthew 24, listen to this. And verse 24. "For there shall arise Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Now, we know that's in the tribulation, but it's already working out here. Ministers that don't even know they're ministering, I'm not saying they're not saved, and I'm not saying they don't love the Lord. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying they are working, so many of us are working out of the self-life, trying to help. And I'm not being mean or facetious about that. Trying to help and not helping. Let me ask you a question. How many people do you know that have been hurt by pastors or Christians? And I'll say a lot of time they were probably doing something to try to help them, but it wasn't the Spirit of God that was doing it. It was coming out of their self-life, their soul, and it couldn't help them. They couldn't give them life. Only Christ's Spirit can give life. If it's not given life, it's not of Christ. That's hard, isn't it? Please remember that all the works of God are done by the Holy Spirit. The corporation of our spirit, His Spirit with the corporation of our spirit that He quickened and knew. They are never accomplished by man's soul. It is Satan who makes us of the power of man's soul, the psychic force which is hidden in man's flesh. So it will be in the last days Satan will raise up an Antichrist who will be given his power and authority, but he will have to rely upon the hidden power of man's soul to accomplish what he's trying to do. That's why in Revelation 18, he's seeking for souls of men. Because he cannot accomplish what he wants without that power. Now, why is the soul so often brought into play? It is to obtain a power, that want, and that feel that we need. If you remember, our duty is not to seek but His presence. I've become leery of pastors and Christians trying to pray down the power of God. Now, our whole camp meeting was based on that. Because how do you know what power you got coming down? If the presence of God is not there, the power of God will not be there. There'll be a power, but it won't be of God. And there may be great things done. It's His presence. I really am weary of Christians praying for the power of God on their lives. I don't think they understand what God it is that's given them the power. In many cases, it may be the God of this world. Only the Spirit is capable of quickening people into life. The soul, no matter how strong it is, cannot impart life to others. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Again, why is the soul so often brought into to obtain a power that want and feel we think we need? Power should only be obtained on resurrection ground. And resurrection power, real power from the Spirit, you remember what it says over in Romans 6, 3 and 4? Resurrected into a new life. A resurrection power is living beyond death. Okay? John 5. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. Now, if He couldn't, what makes you think that we can? But what He see the Father do, for what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. The Lord is so perfect and was so perfect, yet His whole life is one which depend helplessly, hopelessly on the Father. Who are you depending on? Folks, we just need to keep in mind, before we speak, before we think, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and taking vengeance. You got to take vengeance on what comes into your mind sometime. We want to help. No help. Why? So much of the time it comes from the self-life. Amen? You can come up and play. Just try to keep in mind, folks, through the week, where did it come from?